The development of Norfolk's Real Care Deal.
The Real Care Deal came about because of the Safeguarding Adults Review, following the closure of Causton Park Hospital.
The development of an ethical commissioning framework was one of the recommendations from the Safeguarding Adult Review into the tragic deaths of Joanna, John and Ben at Causton Park Hospital. The review exposed multiple serious failures in a service where the provider was paid significant sums of money to provide specialist and quality care that Joanna, John and Ben did not receive. The issues exposed in the report were not new and pointed to multiple failures in all parts of the system, from commissioning to inspection and from regulation to a lack of transparency about how and where public funds are spent. The Safeguarding Adult Review recommendation was for the Council and the Integrated Care Board to develop an ethical commissioning framework structured around an ethical vision, transparency, ethical employment, localism and tax compliance. Through our work with people in the development of this framework, they told us that the most basic requirement is that we all behave in ways that are more human. Get this right and everything else should follow naturally.
To date, we have talked to over 100 people in workshops and meetings to listen to their ideas about the framework. A lot of people have told us they didn't know what an ethical framework was.
What does ethical framework mean?
Yeah, what?
What's an ethical framework? What do you think of that phrase?
Well, a framework, they building something round, dumping in it. What, the ethical bit? No. And got a clue.
We also recorded 15 stories of people's lived experiences and played them back in more workshops to learn more about what needed to be done. This is what people told us about their current experience of care and support.
But it's important that, I think here, that we've got always, things, we've always short staffed, and that's the biggest problem.
Yeah.
A lot of that comes down to money.
Yeah.
And the thing of it is, with money being so short, because they only get a certain amount of funding, we're then limited to what we can do. For us to go anywhere, we then have to fund it ourselves.
Yeah.
When we need money for essential things, we haven't then got the money to then fund it ourselves.
One day, he just couldn't cope anymore with it. The staff person arrived 20 minutes late, didn't call, showed up, and then, as per usual, put down their handbag, took off the shoes, started working, and then they sort of announced, "Oh yeah, and I'm really sorry, I'm gonna have to leave about sort of 40 minutes early because of this." And he said, "No, you're staying for your full shift," and he locked the door. And I gather that is what's called a lock-in. So the next thing that happens is she calls the care organization. They call the police. They come and knock his door down. I mean, break his door down. And apparently this is the protocol for what is called a lock-in. All he was trying to do, and what he kept saying was, "I just wanted my care team member." Sorry.
Yeah, that sounds horrendous.
"I just wanted my care person to stay for her shift." Yeah. She was never at any risk. He's not violent. He is a gentleman, but he was pushed beyond what he could take.
We're dealing with humans. We're dealing with human welfare, and I don't think we have any more time to accept that the people making decisions aren't actually the right people. Don't think we have any more time to waste with that.
We also asked people what would make a difference to them.
Surely the thing that young people go into care for
go into care work for is the interaction. Is being, I mean, my mum has got so much to say. You know, she's got so many brilliant stories to tell. My mum was a professional dancer. You know, she has her whole kind of relationship with her body is kind of based on that experience. And she's got so many brilliant stories to tell about that.
The ability to put you at ease. So it's very easy for me to get to a point with one of my workers where there's frustration which builds to an aggression. If I meet someone, like I met a lovely gentleman called Blessing in A&E, and his approach was just to smile and laugh all the time, and that put me at ease because I could understand what he was trying to communicate was not the words, it was emotions.
I like to see the manager and that they come out once a week and that, just have a catch up or if there's days out and that I can do and sort out my 1-to-1 hours.
I was saying about earlier about compassion and empathy is you have to try. You have to do your damn hardest to make sure that you can at least try from the external perspective to get in that zone. Okay, you're never going to be that person. I don't expect you to be, but you've got to try. You've got to try harder to put yourself on the ground with these people who for every day of their lives until they stop, this will be their reality unless something drastically changes.
In March 2023, we held a face-to-face event at County Hall to co-produce the content of the Ethical Framework. This was a brilliant, creative day that included over 60 people with lived experience, carers, senior leaders, support workers, social workers, and many other people.
We talked about our own experience of receiving information, support and advice, how it makes us feel and why. My support worker talked about how they had never been asked how caring for me makes them feel. This was a powerful moment. Then we worked together to create posters. Some of the things people said were happy, kind, flexible, honest, free, and accepting.
The final part of the workshop was working on what Norfolk needs to do to implement the framework and how we will know it's making a difference to people. We explored what does Norfolk need to do to make sure people's care and support is right for them? What needs to happen to make sure the people who work in services are the right kind of people and are valued? How will we know we are making a difference and people are living the life they want to? And finally, how do we make sure the services and support available are the ones people want?
We ask in the workshop what people would like to call it. We settle on the name, the Real Care Deal, because this gives out a positive message to everyone. And the Real Care Deal is about bringing out the promise of good care that everyone needs.
Then we had some fun. We asked an artificial intelligence generator to give us some ideas of what pictures and images might help to tell other people what the Real Care Deal is. The AI generator gave us some pictures of a moral compass, which we all liked. We explored that further and started to play with more ideas. Currently, we are talking about and experimenting with an interactive web-based platform designed by the people with lived experience who have been involved in this work. This platform will be for anyone who is involved in any aspect of care work, including people who access care and support. The idea of the web platform is to feature content created by individuals with lived experiences using the community reporter stories about the different parts of the current care system. These stories tell us what really matters to people, what they don't want and what they do want. All the stories included people talking about human connection, being listened to, valued as people, as being important to them. In order to make the Real Care Deal real, these are some of the things that we need to consider.
And say, no, we've now reached a point in time where continuing to under-deliver, under-perform, over-promise, we can't continue like that anymore because the cost is just too high. And if that means lots of people in high-powered executive jobs have to move on and be replaced by people that may not have the operational expertise, but actually have more intimate human expertise take their place. Well, sorry, you kind of had your chance. So, what do you want me to say? You know.
In an ideal world, how it would work is that the local authority provides care services to the people that it is responsible for, and that those care services are the people who are managing them are as trained as the social workers are in terms of knowing how to deal with people, that the carers themselves are paid well enough to be in jobs which they stay in, that they're not put in impossible situations which they can't cope with, and therefore they leave after 2 months because it's too much.
So what impact is it having? Examples of how we're using the framework to improve our commissioning include the work with the home care commissioning team in the redesign of the current home care service model. Curators of change help the team to collect lived experience stories to inform the development of this new model. The Council and the Integrated Care Board are already working with organisations in the development of service and organisational delivery plans, which are then reviewed and supported by the learning process. Other priorities that we are addressing this year include for the Council to address the issues raised by providers as unethical, such as late payments. To develop a lessons learned policy to support a learning, not a blame culture.